Alrighty, hello everybody, welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Ferenczi, Variety MMO Gamer, joined by my brother Subjective.
Hello.
And normally we are breaking down, you know, all the information, you know, that's been kind of revealed. We've obviously got a developer update that just occurred, and we are kind of reacting pretty quickly to it. A lot of, like, big information, which we'll probably kind of reveal early on, that way you don't have to sit and wait around. But yeah, we're just going to kind of dig right into it, kind of talk about the developer update, which was talking about, like, server meshing. But obviously, if you enjoy what we're doing here, like, subscribe, follow the channel for future videos and all that good stuff, and join us in Discord as well. You can find the link to that down below in the description. I guess we'll start off as we always kind of do. Like, what have you been playing this week, Sub?
I bought Balatro. It's pretty fun. Playing some Overwatch 2, though I'm kind of unhappy with some of the matchmaking changes again. I feel like it's a never-ending battle with that game, but that's pretty much it for now.
Yeah, live service. Yeah, and I, like I mentioned, finishing GTA 5 a couple weeks ago, and then I finished 100%ing Spider-Man, one of my favorite games. Now I'm just kind of like scouting out some other games. Steam sale's ongoing, so I downloaded bought Pacific Drive, and I'm deciding if I want to go back and maybe finish like some other games. So just kind of in the process.
You'll have to let me know how Pacific Drive is, but I just throw this out there. I mean, next week Once Human comes out, So I'll probably be digging into that for a bit.
Yeah, anyone looking maybe for like MMO-ish or adjacent type something to hold you over till Ashes of Creation Alpha 2 might be could be something to take a look at for sure. But yeah, we're diving in. So obviously this is kind of like a reaction to the July developer update stream. Technically this is the I believe the June developer update, but obviously pushed into July. They said there's going to be another end of July developer update. So we're kind of getting like two in one, so to speak. And obviously the big focus was server meshing. We're not going to dive super heavy into like the tech stuff. If you want to like really get into like the nerd out moments and kind of like what's going into it and like some of the technical stuff, you certainly could go back and watch the updates, which is probably posting on YouTube right now. But we're probably going to talk more about like the implications and what it all means. Just to get this out of the way, because this is obviously some really big news on two fronts they revealed. There was the beginning and then as well as the end. They said, Brian Langford, who's one of the executive producers, mentioned that we will likely in the next technical July update, the end of July, hopefully have a start date for Alpha 2, right? That's but in the next developer update. Not 100%, but like he said, everything looks like it's kind of lining up. And hopefully by the end of this month, we'll actually get a date for when, you know, that's going to be dropping, which obviously is pretty huge sub for sure, I think.
Biggest news yet so far, my guess is if testing goes well, like I said, they're going to be pulling in Alpha 1 testers very soon here, starting in small batches, about 1,000, and then they're going to keep going up. But if everything goes well, then I think that's probably they'll have the date ready, and sounds like they're gearing up here. So yeah, my guess is I'm still going to say September, because I think, I mean, we could get lucky, and it could be towards later August, but I'm just going to say it's going to be sometime in September, Alpha 2 is going to drop. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Obviously, July was always kind of like pipe dream, probably not going to happen. They said they finished Milestone 9, and now they're transitioning to Milestone 10, which is primarily like optimization, like some UI stuff they're going to be working on, VFX. So kind of like polishing, bug fixing, server performance, client, you know, FPS performance, all those different types of things. So obviously they're probably gonna need a little bit of time for that, I would assume. So like I said, maybe pipe dream like end of August, but probably I would agree. Probably if I had to guess, I would say like sometime in September would be my best guess, assuming everything kind of lines up. But that's exciting. I mean, then just having like a date, I think, is always good. Obviously, you never know. Dates can change. Maybe something, there's a setback. But other big news for those that are interested in, you may have realized that the Alpha 2 keys, access to Alpha 2 is kind of cut off a few months ago. But they did say there's probably going to be selling Alpha 2 access, just the access, not necessarily all the cosmetics and things that go along with it, that they've been previously selling. So you might still have a chance if you really, you know, obviously the game's kind of, you know, been growing and blowing up in terms of like everything they've been showing. So, you know, if you get you kind of stumbled onto Ashes of Creation a little bit later, you might still have the ability to have access to get in and test out the game. So that's pretty exciting for the folks that maybe didn't get access previously. And who knows, maybe it'll be a little bit cheaper because if they're just offering the key, maybe they can get in there for a decent price. But that's really exciting. So hopefully Alpha 2 access not too far around the corner. And if you're interested, you might be able to get access to it as well. Because they'll be resuming sale of at least access to Alpha 2. So, very cool.
Yeah, I do expect the price of these, like I said, you're buying in to play Alpha 2, like they said. You're not getting, like, if you spend $250 and you got all those cosmetics, you get a couple months free. I forgot how many months it is for your, for the sub when it comes out. And you also get a huge amount of cosmetic currency for the cosmetic shop in the game with it. So I expect these to be semi-expensive, but significantly less expensive than the 250 pack you first needed to buy to get in.
Yeah, and as kind of a warning, because, you know, Stevens always mentions it, and he always tells people, like, tell people this, like, you know, it may not be a great testing experience. Who knows? We just don't know, and there's going to be a lot of craziness going on. And so, you know, if you want to wait it out and you don't want to be a part of, like, bugs and dealing with all that and reporting bugs and giving feedback, then it could be worth waiting too, even though it is exciting to kind of dive in and, you know, see the game, but might be worth waiting.
In my opinion, like, if you want, I would wait. I mean, I don't know how long they're going to keep these keys open, and I don't want to, like, dwell on this too much, but I would personally wait. But if you just don't care and you have the money, I guess just buy one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to be part of something, you know, I always warn people, like, testing is testing, right? If you get frustrated easily by bugs and, you know, lag and latency and performance issues, then probably, you know, just wait, save yourself the trouble. But so we're going to dig into it a little bit. Obviously, as I mentioned before, this is pretty tech heavy, right? A lot of it was like an hour and 18 minutes, I think they said. And it was very, very tech heavy. There's a lot of, like, explanation, which was great. I feel like I learned a lot, but we're going to kind of focus more so on the technical, you know, what does this actually, the technical side mean in terms of, like, the game itself and, like, maybe some things that we kind of picked up and learned from it. So obviously one of the big focus was server meshing, which I think kind of at a fundamental level is, you know, kind of piecing together these servers and, you know, like, having multiple servers per realm or kind of per, like, a bigger server. Like, kind of if you imagine, like, World of Warcraft, you're joining, you know, Kel'Thuzad's server, right? There's actually, in terms of server meshing, there's multiple servers kind of as the overarching part of, like, that overall realm that you're joining, which is pretty cool. So, like, kind of all these linked servers together, right, kind of reduces the load and some makes things hopefully better overall. But, like, what does that kind of mean overall for, like, the game itself? And they, you know, they talked about, like, for Ashes, like, they don't want to have layering. So this is one way server meshing comes into it. So, like, and you probably could explain this better because World of Warcraft does this a lot, like, what layering is and, like, what it kind of means to, like, an MMO. Like, what's the difference between, like, server meshing and layering?
Yeah, I'll explain all this a little bit just to make it a little easier. Layering is what they did with Classic WoW. It's basically only X amount of players can be on a layer. Like, so it's just like the old way servers worked, right? So when WoW first came out, servers had a specific cap that they could handle, obviously, because of, you know, technical limitations and all that stuff. So, and then you'd get a queue, right? So in order to bypass that, when Classic came out in 2019, they were introduced layering. Basically, you could have multiple, it's kind of like server meshing, but it's nowhere near as good. It's basically you have X amount of people in a layer, and then you spin up another layer, but they're still on the same server. You just don't see them because you're stuck in a layer. You can transfer between layers, but it just ports you between them. You don't see everybody. Whereas server meshing is, you can see everybody in the area and server you're on because it splits the game up. It's not like Modern WoW where they do it, they kind of, like, split the game up into zones, but it's, they connect all the servers and you're never going to end up in the same phase. I know there's multiple terms for it. You're never, like, Modern WoW has phases, so, like, if you go into a zone in Modern WoW, you'll end up into a phase, but if you leave that phase and then you come back, you can, like, you might not see the same people. They gave a good, pretty good example, like, back in old days of WoW, someone would be dancing on a mailbox, and if you left and came back, you'd still see him there. And server meshing kind of, because games are way more complex these days, and everything is kind of a necessary technology in order for modern MMOs to work. Otherwise, you're just going to have really low player caps. Like New World, I think, had like 2,000 player caps on their servers. It's extremely low. So if you want those big battles and stuff without lag, you need to have server mesh.
Yeah, I kind of pictured almost like, you know, if you go into like, I don't know, back in the day, like you go and play Battlefield, right? You might have like everybody's playing the same game, right? If you want to think of that maybe as like being like a realm, but there's like different people on different servers doing different things, even if like they're playing like the same map. So it's like, it's almost like they're like stacked on top of each other, right? There's people there, and like if you joined a group and somebody's on a different layer, you would kind of just transport yourself to that, to that server. But you know, I think it's a really big deal, because like server meshing is going to allow for more of like what we've talked about in the past, like putting like the, you know, the massively multiplayer back in MMO, like where you, again, you're going to see like those same people. You're going to be running into the same people, right? And I think that's a big deal, right? And obviously, you know, places like on a grander scale, like some of the big like PvP stuff, like we kind of saw in the previous developer update. But like, I just think even like the small stuff, like again, you know, like walking through an area and like seeing the same people, like that can have a big impact, because that's how you, you know, start to form those like connections and like get to know people. And I think one of the big downsides to like the modern MMO is it being becoming more like, you know, having like that layering where like you're not seeing the same people, you're, you know, constantly like on, you may end up on different layers, like they disappear like through like phasing. And so I think it's really a big deal that like if they can nail this right, the server meshing as well as some of the other things that they talked about, it's going to make a big difference on like that social aspect and really kind of feeling like the server is alive.
Yeah, and I just thought of another good way to kind of explain this to make it simpler. Think of the way most modern MMOs do layer and phase and shard and whatever you want to call it. They kind of stack servers on top of each other, right? Whereas server meshing is more like stacking them side by side. So it's still like one world, but they're all split into different servers, but those servers can interact with each other. Whereas if servers stack on top of each other, they don't really interact with each other because it's a different phase. So yeah, most modern MMOs, at least, I have not played every MMO, mind you, but at least World of Warcraft has moved in the direction of server stacking, where they can just support a lot of players, and then if too many players in a zone, they'll phase you into a new, I guess, instance or phase or shard or whatever you want to call it, because people call it multiple different things. So there's less lag. Guild Wars 2 does this. If there's not enough people in a zone, it'll be like, hey, join a more populated zone, and you'll get a buff for doing so, because they want to shut that instance shard down. And, you know, I mean, I prefer, like, server mesh has been under development for a long time in other games. Star Citizen's another big one. But this tech not only is going to be good for MMOs, but I do think it has potential to really help other games, too.
Yeah, it's really important to creating like a unified, like immersive world, like you had mentioned, like when we were, I think we tried playing Guild Wars a couple months ago, and it was like, I think we got pinged like, hey, like you're on a low pop server, like come join, you know, like stuff like that. To me just feels like, you know, it breaks the immersion of the game, and like, again, it kind of isolates the player base. It makes it feel like you're not really playing an MMO. You know what I mean? It just takes like the massively multiplayer out of it a bit. So hopefully this is going to be a big deal. One of the things that they did lay out too that I thought was really important, probably something that players may want to know, is like, I looked at this as almost like their mission statement as far as like how they're treating, you know, like some of the tech and like what they want out of Ashes of Creation, right? That I'd mentioned, like they want no layering, right? They want high player counts. They want open world PvP, and they want low latency, right? And all those things kind of come together, right? And kind of, you know, are, you know, layering a little bit more so can be like the social aspect too, but, you know, high player counts, open world PvP, low latency, right? Those are all going to be really important for, you know, creating like this big, massive open world kind of like sandbox MMO. I think that's really important too, is like layering, I don't feel like works very well for like a sandbox MMO, because you want to like be able to see the same people working in their shops. You want to be able to like, you know, interact with people in the world more regularly because things are kind of open. You're not like on like a theme park ride, you know, all kind of heading in the same direction. You could be doing a lot of different types of things. So I thought just hearing that was comforting for me, right? That they really are committed to like avoiding the layering and really focusing on making sure like everything kind of function like this big open world, you know, high player count PvP. And again, of course, low latency, which I'm sure as you know as well, is super important in any kind of PvP, whether it's like you're playing Counter-Strike or whether you're playing in, you know, an MMO and there's, you know, intense fighting going on. You got to have low latency if you want it to perform and to feel good.
Yeah, and a lot, like I said, a lot of people aren't tech oriented, but a lot of people don't realize MMOs back in the day, you know, just there just wasn't as many players back then. So like WoW back in the day, like when I played an actual vanilla WoW, there the only way they could deal with adding more players to the game was to spin up new servers. That's it. They had no other way of dealing with Go ahead.
No, which obviously could be, you know, problematic for a lot of different reasons. Like if you're constantly having to spin up new servers, right? We all know what typically happens like in the long term, which is like, you know, obviously you get a big wave of people that are interested in the game early on and they fall off. And then those people that, you know, go on to these new servers, they end up dying. So like avoiding that, like through like server meshing, I think is going to be really big.
Well, Blizzard figured out a better way of dealing it with than most MMOs. Like even New World has had server mergers and shutdown. Yeah. Whereas Blizzard links, what they did was they linked servers together. So like your server was still intact, but they were linked together. So they kind of had a very creative way of dealing with a population of servers dying and stuff like that. And they continue to obviously evolve their structure. They're kind of moving towards a mega server technology because the way that game is set up, like you, because they just shard and phase and instance everything. So like being on your server is just going to have a little asterisk next to your name now. And it doesn't really matter because all guilds will be cross server. Everything's cross server now. And WoW.
Yeah.
But yeah, servers actually matter in Ashes because like I said, it's a different kind of MMO. WoW thrives off of instances, maybe, and a lot of solo content, whereas Ashes is like open world, sandboxy, you build cities, you build towns, like you don't do any of that in WoW, so it's two different games. So like I said, server mesh is absolutely necessary for high fidelity, high scale MMOs, because just like I said, if you go watch the video they just showed us the update, because I'm not going to get too deep into it, these servers process a lot of information on the back end, and yeah, like I said, you're eventually going to hit a limit of what those processors can handle. So, like I said, they literally had to rewrite parts of some of Unreal Engine's. They had to build their own networking infrastructure and throw out Unreals just to get Ashes working. So it just shows you how much work is going into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd mentioned it a few times. Unreal, you know, Unreal provides a solid base, but like a lot of this is kind of their own infrastructure, their own network. I forgot. I think it was like IntrepidNet is what they called it. So they've obviously put a ton of work into it and like trying to get it to perform. Like I said, I don't want to go too tech heavy. I think if anybody's interested in that, just watch the video because they're gonna get it more right than us trying to rehash it. But, you know, it's a big deal, right? And I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but it's going to make it's even more important in Ashes of Creation for them to like get these things right. And, you know, maybe another question that I would have too is like, how are they going to like, you know, you'd mentioned like server linking and for sometimes it's like server transfers, but that's, you know, in a game that's like open world and there's going to be like open world housing and stuff like that, it's even more important to like make sure those things are figured out. So like, I feel like the fewer servers they can have, and I think like server meshing will kind of allow that, and like the more people they can put onto you know, fewer number of like realms, I should say, probably not servers, like the better off it's going to be, because you're going to hopefully avoid a lot of those issues like when it comes to like, oh, the server's dying, you know, I need to transfer, or they're going to like link something, or you know, whatever kind of, you know, solution they come up with. I'm sure it'll happen no matter what, but hopefully like avoiding that as much as possible, like by having these big servers is going to be pretty big or important.
Yeah, you're right. We should be calling them realms, because the concept of a server, as we know it, is dead. A server, yeah, used to hold X amount of people, whereas now you have the world is broken up into many servers, right?
Right.
And all connected together. So it's basically a realm. Like, you're playing on the continent that they're giving us to play on in Ashes, and all those are broken up into smaller servers to balance the load and keep performance high. That's basically how modern MMOs need to work, And I think, honestly, we should really talk about the dynamic, I think it was what, dynamic meshing? What was
gridding?
It called?
Dynamic
gridding. Yeah, dynamic gridding. Sorry, yeah. Dynamic gridding. This is probably the coolest tech. Like I said, we could go into a lot of things, but this is probably the coolest thing. Like, because we've talked about this before in, like, you know, big battles. You know, you want to participate in big battles, you know, and this game is going to be a lot about that. So I think this is probably the most important thing to talk about in the game. Dynamic gridding is basically if a big battle starts in a certain area, or even if just there's a lot of PvE going on, right? The server can then split into smaller servers on top of the server that was already meshed out. So you could split it into multiple other servers. So this way, the big battle will perform better, whereas people in the other part of the zone may not feel that lag because, you know, I thought that's the coolest thing. So, like, you can have a big battle break out on a node, but you're on the same server mesh, but you're not near that battle, so they can just cordon that battle off into its own little mesh, and then, you know, you can keep doing your own thing without feeling that lag and stuff, so.
No, yeah, that was definitely, I think it, because I think we'd previously talked about it, like, around, like, Node Wars, and the previous developer update that was focused on Node Wars was, you know, like, what happens, like, if, you know, a big streamer, you know, which is kind of like an example they gave, comes in and they've got a bunch of ragtag people following them around, or what happens if, like, we get into these massive wars and there's, like, you know, a ton of people kind of coming into, like, one kind of area. And I think dynamic gridding is something that's going to really, hopefully, if, you know, all works well, like, allow that, right? Because you're, again, you're kind of, like, almost, like, you know, splitting up and spooling up servers as needed to kind of break up and reduce the load. Like when you get kind of like these hotspot, like node wars or PvP battles or whatever ends up happening. So curious to kind of see how it plays out. They said it should be available with Alpha 2. So hopefully we'll kind of get to really test that out and really, you know, and that's going to be part of it too, is like seeing, like, you know, pushing it to as far as it goes. Like what happens if you put 1,000 people in an area, like, and they're really close, like, can it handle something like that? So those will be some, like, key things to look into as well. But something that I agree is definitely really big, and I think does kind of answer some of those issues or, like, questions we've had in the past. Like, you know, how are they gonna enable, like, this big open world PvP? And it seems like dynamic gridding is the answer.
It is, and in Alpha 2, they're gonna purposely try and break the system because you want to see how it works, right? Like, how far can you push it before it really, you know, blows the server up, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be testing it and prodding on it. And they may even be editing it in real time. Like, you just don't know what the devs will do. The devs might be like, oh, well, today we're pouring everyone into one area on the server just to see if we break the server and the server crashes and how bad the dynamic gridding, you know, can adjust in real time. And because they're going to be using all these tools on their servers to be like, there's a lot of people in this area, and we need to cordon it off into its own little mesh so it doesn't spill out and, you know, cause other people in that zone or however they mesh the servers to lag. So they're going to be farting around with this a lot in Alpha 2. So, I mean, I expect them to try and break it. They're going to try little micro zones. I mean, who knows what they're going to do with it?
Yeah, Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see, too, and just kind of see how much it breaks. Because they did have a lot of examples, which I thought was really good, and it's really useful for someone like me who's maybe not as tech-heavy, tech-oriented, but, like, you know, where they were talking about, like, the transition from, like, one server to another server on the same realm. So, like, a lot of it's geographic. Like, there's borders, kind of like server borders, so to speak, like, where you walk from, you know, one area to another area and you transition servers, and, like, everything looked really seamless. But, of course, it was, like, the examples we saw were two or three people, or like there was like a PvP battle that was going on technically between two different servers, which is really cool. But, you know, how's that gonna scale up when, you know, we're talking about like 50 people or 100 people, like, and they're on two different servers kind of battling it out, you know, cross server, so to speak. So, like, that's gonna be the stuff that we can only really get through the testing, and who knows, maybe that was happening during the node wars, we just didn't really get a chance to see it and things like that too. But yeah, really, really big stuff. I know it was very tech heavy, and like maybe if like you're not as tech heavy into stuff as me, maybe it'll be one where you just want to listen to us because, you know, you can kind of like, what's the actual impact? What does it mean? But if you're interested,
I can just sum that up for them. Basically, if you want big battles with minimal lag and smooth performance, you need this tech. You need dynamic gridding. So
yeah,
you want those big battles without lag, this is what enables it.
Yeah, and it's something they've been working on, I think they've said, for years. So this has been like an ongoing thing. Obviously, the team has kind of scaled up, so they've probably been able to devote more resources to it and be able to, you know, work on it a little bit more. But, you know, these things take time. You know, Star Citizen's been trying to get this stuff right for years, too. So it's not an easy thing. And what they're doing is kind of like, based on what they said, is relatively, and I believe it based on like how a lot of MMOs are done today and stuff, like not a lot of games are trying this, and not a lot of games are able to kind of to do this. Like, I'm thinking, like, I have an example in my head where, you know, Atlas was kind of like where it was like multiple servers chained together to make one big world. But like when you would transition from one part of the quote unquote map or area to another one, there was like kind of like some loading and stuff like that. So that's, it's trying to avoid all of that, right? It's supposed to be seamless where you can kind of cross over and kind of have those things as well going
that's,
on.
Yeah, that's the idea. I get, there's just a few other things I wanted to point out, because we're probably going to keep the podcast a little short today because it's a tech heavy. I mean, there was some pretty important info. I mean, not everyone's into it, but one thing they did mention was that a lot of the physics in the game is going to be calculated server side. So like if you, in a normal game like WoW, if you run into a wall, that's done client side. So basically on your computer, you run into a wall, the game's like on your PC, your PC's telling you ran into a wall. So that makes it so you could do like there are cheaters in WoW that use things to warp through walls and stuff like that. But if you do server side physics, the game is like saying you ran into the wall. The server tells you ran into the wall. It makes it a lot harder for you to kind of cheat. And also, another thing they kind of mentioned was the server side emulation or simulation, like how stuff spawns in the zone and with meshing and stuff, it'll be much harder for people to kind of figure out where the, like I said, people like know where all the good stuff is farming wise. I mean, you obviously will figure that out, but it may make it harder for cheaters to actually cheat in this game. Yeah. There always will be a way to cheat, but
I think the best example I always think of is like when you play a game that has like ragdoll physics that's multiplayer and you're like, oh man, look, they ended up in this like really funny position. And if it's on the client side, like that ragdoll physic can end up like in any position. So like something might be like really funny or odd looking to you, and then to your friend it might be like, oh, that looks completely normal. They're just on the ground. So
that's an exactly perfect example of that. But with server side physics, that means that wall is there on the server, meaning there's no way around that. I don't know if they could find a way around that. Let's not bark up that tree, but
yeah,
it should help. It should help be able to deal with people who try to use, like, at least cheating in WoW. Like I said, the client side is telling you the wall is there. So if you can just bypass it, and like, and also if people try to speed hack, they should be able to detect that much easier, because the server will pick up, hey, this person is moving faster than any of the the variables they put on in the game, right? So they'll be able to just be like, whoa, red flag here, someone's doing something they're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and the only other thing I think before we kind of wrap up here that's worth mentioning, because it probably would, it potentially answers some of the questions that we had previously about, like, you know, issues with like botting and exploiting like the economy and things like that, is microservices, which are kind of like these, I would say they described it as like different, more servers for like specific things that need to happen across the world, right? So like mail service, like when you send mail and it needs, because there's going to be multiple servers kind of as part of a realm, right? You need to be able to have like things happening across, like even if these servers aren't near each other. So like, you know, sending mail and like auction house and like social services, like whispering your friend who's on the other side of the Vera, right? So all these different things. And one of the interesting things like that I think it kind of mentioned was its like ability to kind of like track a lot of different entities in the world. So like it was kind of talking about, you know, like tracking, you know, resources, you know, whether it's trees or ore and things like that. They're going to hopefully be able to kind of keep track of these things like in relative real time, like through debugging and like, you know, tools and software. So like that could be something like when we talked about like botting, like if, oh, like why are all these like mining ores getting mined in like a particular pattern, right? So hopefully that's stuff that can maybe like ease the burden on like identifying botters and things like that. That's something I'd probably want to ask a follow-up question about. about is like, can these tools be used to like kind of like help against cheating and botting and, you know, exploits and things like that? Are they be able to like kind of track that? So that was probably the only other thing I think that got mentioned that could be kind of interesting too.
Well, yeah, I'll just bring it up. Yeah, they showed a little pic during the stream. They showed a map of like everything going on. Basically, like they could track almost everything you're doing on a map. So like, hopefully it should.
Yeah.
They should be able to notice when things are odd if they have the software in place. So these are all good things.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. It likes a shorter podcast today. Again, just kind of reacting, and it was very tech heavy. So there wasn't like, you know, a lot of visuals. It was more like a presentation, like a, you know, a slide deck of, you know, kind of them going over, you know, the tech and talking about it versus like getting to see it more so like implemented as like they usually do, which is like an in-game experience kind of going through something. So yeah, we're gonna wrap it up there. Next week, I think the plan right now could change, always subject to change, is maybe digging into something they had mentioned, which is going to be kind of like a discussion point on the forums, which is like camera perspective. Sub said he had some ideas about some things he wanted to dig into that, which sounds interesting to me. I certainly give some of my viewpoints, and, you know, camera can make a big deal too, like, you know, in combat and PvP and all different types of things. So be interested, maybe dig into that a little bit. We, of course, available on YouTube if you'd like to listen there and watch there. Subscribe, like, comment, all those wonderful things. You can join us on our Discord as well, and you can leave us a review if you're your podcast platform of choice. One other thing that I'd like to mention too, as well, is that Sub and I will be on July 12th joining the Golden Feather Tavern with Chibi and Vertek, which, you know, they're really cool folks. They've been doing this a lot longer than we have, so really excited to kind of just get to know them and talk with them and, you know, chat about us and hopefully a little bit about Ashes. And so if you're interested in that, July 12th, we'll give out some more specifics and details as we get a little bit closer in terms of like timing and all that. But just something if you're interested and you want to kind of check us out there, definitely something to do there. But I think that wraps it up. Yeah, we're gonna close it out in there. Again, really excited. This is big information. Hopefully on our next, you know, developer update reaction, we'll be able to say, hey, this is the date for Alpha 2. Like, that could be really massive. I'm excited. A lot of exciting stuff on the horizon. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, see you next time. We're getting close.